afternoon, and welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Reality. We're brought to you by the D'Unity Group and 8A The Easy Way, your fast track to government contracting. I'm Roger Vaughn, and I'm joined by, as always, by my co-hosts, Stacey and Myra. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Oh,
yeah.
Afternoon.
Yeah, it is afternoon, isn't it? I forgot. I said good morning, too, didn't I?
Yeah, I'm
a little behind schedule this morning.
It's okay.
No biggie.
Well, this big cup of coffee Stacey's got, you probably think it's morning.
No, yeah.
That's a professional coffee drinker's cup right there.
Absolutely.
And she is the consummate professional when it comes to coffee drinking. I still take lessons from her from drinking coffee. But I think that's tea today, isn't it?
It is tea today.
I always wonder about the people that actually buy the cup, you know, that just...
Yeah, I like the cup and then I use my own stuff.
That's what you call being entrepreneurial.
Yes.
Well, speaking of that, each week we talk about what makes business ownership, especially small business ownership, so rewarding. And as it relates to the challenges of running a small business and ultimately why you choose to do what you do. So in that, based on that, small businesses, last night's debate. What do you think?
Wow. A lot to say. But a lot not said is what I think.
Probably more unsaid than said.
Yeah. I think small businesses, no matter what, it just doesn't matter who's in office. It's just one's going to take things a lot easier and pushing things through versus somebody brand new. It's going to take a long time to get some processes in place because it's like starting all over again.
Mm-hmm. That it is. I mean, it. You know, there was, as we just discussed earlier, there was a lot of talking around, you know, and versus just answering the question.
It's called politics, Roger. What do you mean?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I guess I need to bring my binder. Never mind.
And as a woman, that just kind of made me cringe on some of those comments because women have come such a long way.
Yes, they have.
Especially in business ownership and in the corporate ladder, but we still are struggling, just like minorities are struggling out there too, in trying to get their footprint out there.
Right.
You know.
Right. And we do appreciate what women bring to this world, not just to this country, but to this world, because without you, we wouldn't be here either.
Mm-hmm. So.
But that being said, who do we have our guest today? Who's our guest?
Our guest is Quenita Frazier. And she is a grant writer. We have known her for almost the whole time we've been here in Atlanta. And one of the things that she does is helps people with funding. So I'm going to introduce Quenita Frazier, and she has built an alliance partnership. And so, Q, tell us what you do.
Hey, good day. I am a grants developer, or as we say in our world, the rain maker for nonprofits. And I've been really fortunate to make it rain for a little while in Atlanta. That's a hot word. But seriously, I've spent the last 15 years helping various types of nonprofits both attract and sustain funding through grants. So in the past, it looked a lot like corporate and private foundations.
Mm-hmm.
Grants now, here recently, we focus primarily on federal grants. So I know we'll probably get into that conversation a little later, especially off of the debates last night. But one of the things that I currently do in my stead at Strategic Funding Group is I act as a funding strategist. And that just means I don't have to write anymore, thank God. But I still get to help nonprofits think through the best ways to sustain their organizations. In my perfect world, nonprofits will be less reliant on grants and more interested in creating earned income, fee for service, creating their own unrestricted dollars to sustain themselves. That's the entrepreneurial side of me.
Yeah.
Coming out. But yeah, so that's where I am in life right now. So I'm sure we have lots to chat about in that regard.
Well, you mentioned that you don't do a whole lot of writing anymore. I mean, coming from the corporate background that I came from, I've always considered grants to be like that that anomaly, like one of those urban legends. So apparently not, if you're making it rain.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's lots of grant funding out there. So just on the corporate on the corporate front, most every major corporation in the company has a separate charitable entity, mm-hmm. And has set up a corporate foundation.
Right.
Those corporate foundations contribute literally billions of dollars into our local communities on an annual basis. And we sort of know, you know, where those communities are. So in creating relationships with corporate foundations, it really is a matter of making the personal introductions in relationships so that they know that you're there in their community with them. Mm. Now, no, go ahead.
So how did you get into this industry?
Well, I was sort of thrown in, literally, feet first. When I finished college,
you swim, huh?
Yeah, no, and trust me, I swim like a brick, so that helps a lot with the illustration. But when I finished college, I thought I was going to go to D.C. I was a poli-sci undergrad, and I thought you needed a political science degree to be involved in politics. Go figure. And I was going to go to D.C., work for HUD, and my aunt called me. She was going down to a little college down in Alabama, Talladega, Alabama, to help them rebuild, restructure. And she said, why don't you come out here and help me for a little while? And, you know, you're starting your career. I thought, okay. Anyway, 6 years later, wow. I got thrown into the Institutional Advancement Office where I was introduced to development and fundraising. They sent me off to school to do grant writing. I was already a writer, so it was sort of an easy fix. But it was during that time that I became what I called to be a professional alms bearer, beggar for a living. And I loved it. I mean, it was good. I loved the relationship part of, and I understood, as I think every person should understand, the relationship between programs and money, that programs follow funding. And every debate that we're having now during this presidential election has everything to do with where the money's going. And so I understood that early on. So my connection to that with grants was, okay, where's the money and how do I get it to our communities? Mm. I was fortunate to have enough sense to know that though there are lots of grant pockets of money out here, that they weren't for everyone. Because at the time I started doing some government contracting on the side. So I was, you know, talking to folks, people that were starting chicken coops and people that, you know.
Chicken coops, wow.
Honey, in Alabama, there's lots of chicken and lots of coops.
Okay.
So trust me. And I had enough sense to know, okay, there's got to be some other types of ways to give these people money, you know, because I was doing it on the side. And so I went back to school to work in business, you know, to work on a master's in business, and went to work for a bank. And on the retail and commercial side. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. And I think it was a great aha moment for me because it sort of introduced me to the commercial, conventional financing, you know, even investment equity, kind of different types of money, different types of financing and funding for organizations. And so, you know, getting thrown into that whole commercial funding, alternative funding world kind of gave me perspective organizations that, even organizations that are a good fit for grants or businesses that are a good fit for grants, there are other options out there to help them diversify their business model. Yeah.
And that's, my background is primarily banking, so that's, you know, kind of my limited scope. So that's why I'm like, grants, really? Does that?
You're like, we can't underwrite that.
Does this really exist?
Yeah. Grants. And, you know, there's a fun and then there's a funky side of grants. The fun part of grants is that it is probably one of the only opportunities that a person can assess value to things that are very humanistic. So whether I have a good quality of life or whether a kid is exposed to the arts, I mean, they're, you know, on the banking side, it's sort of like, how much does that cost? What is that worth? So grants gives, you know, community organizations and businesses an opportunity to sort of qualify what they're doing as valuable. Mm-hmm. So grant funding sources like your private foundations, corporate foundations, or federal agencies will appropriate money to those things that, you know, that matter to us and our communities. The funky thing about grants is people still want a return on their investment.
Right.
So for us, especially in the funding side, this is why it's like an urban legend, because the burden is to be able to adequately define that return on investment. And in this world, it's becoming very quantitative.
Absolutely.
Numbers. Fair. How many people? How many hours? Right. You know, what's the geographic impact? And now it's financial investment. If I give you $50,000, can you take that money, build your capacity, and bring in another $50,000 for your organization? Mm-hmm. So now it's like a mad scientist lab. <I know. laughs> Whenever we write a grant. Yeah.
And the compliance has gotten a lot more detailed.
Yeah, especially on the federal side. And that's Stacey's big thing, you know, the contracting officer. Yeah, just like the federal grant officer is. Yeah, they're tightening up. And for good reason. I mean, the good old days back in, you know, early 2000, late 1900s, 1990s. Lord have mercy.
I wasn't here. How old are you?
I was going to say, I wasn't there. By the way, somebody told me about that. No. Yeah, those were the good old days. People just write you a check and sort of say, call me in 5 years. You know, right. Then ask many questions, especially on the corporate and private foundation side. Even on the federal side, I mean, they'd make 5-year appropriations. Hey, call us in 5 years. Do your annual reports. Well, now the regulations are much more stringent because the pots of money are smaller.
Right.
You know, we may get a $2 million appropriation for, let's say, for, you know, after school programs, but it's for the city of Atlanta. But you have 100, you know, daycare centers competing for that.
Right.
It's not a lot of money when you look at 100 people competing for it. So they're making it tougher for people to play, and tougher for organizations to just sort of float along. You have to prove yourself, prove to play nowadays. So
well, that being said, they're just, as stated, they're putting more checks and balances in place before they write the checks.
Rightly so.
And so, which leads me to my question when it comes regarding nonprofit versus profit. Good. What is the biggest misperception about nonprofits?
Good. Oh, I love that question. I'm so excited. Well, the biggest misconception is that people believe that nonprofits shouldn't make profit.
Oh, yeah.
That we're not a business. We are a business. The IRS, the only thing that separates a nonprofit corporation, which is the actual term on a state level, and a for-profit corporation, is who gets the ultimate benefit from the organization. So a for-profit entity has the ability to take their profits and share it among shareholders or share it among initial investors with no cap. Nonprofits can make profits, but those profits have to be reinvested in the nonprofit. So it can't have any, quote, inure benefits to any individual or individuals related to the nonprofit. So they both have the same business and financial burdens. They have to be self-sustained. They have to grow. They have to maintain a capacity to provide a good service or product. Most people think, if I'm a nonprofit, it's my job to make just enough money to do what we said our mission is, because, and then my job is to make sure I can convince somebody else to give me that money to do that. Totally a misnomer. Totally old school, doesn't work anymore. Went out with the bump. Yeah, all of that.
She went way back that time. My goodness.
Back to
We're done. And the reason why I'm glad you asked
back
that.
Back to the 1900s, right?
Yeah, 1900s. Horse and carriage. Yeah, shaking the big tin, the tin cup. But no, really, and I'm so excited about that, because my life at Strategic Funding Group is awesome, because as I said, I get to help nonprofits put together strategies to attract federal grants, which I love. But a large part of what I do in those conversations and in meeting people in nonprofits is to talk to them about social enterprise. So social enterprise just means any organization who has any socially conscious mission or focus, but they engage market-based strategy. So this is your business who has a heart for the community and operates as a business, but in some way impacts a local community or has some type of social impact. And then that's your nonprofit organization that employs market-based strategies in order to fund their missions. So both sides of those spectrums means that this is where passion meets profits.
Right.
And my soapbox here recently, and my soap, not just recently, over the last 5 years, and I think my loudspeaker will never shut off around getting nonprofits especially more focused on ways to produce profit for their organization. And that means stop being afraid of acting like a business. You know, there's a huge faux pas in our community that if we engage in business or market-based strategies that we'll lose the focuses of our mission. It's called mission drift.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are lots and lots of nonprofits in the around the country who are successful at doing both. Your Salvation Armies, your Goodwills, your most of your hospitals. I mean, they're considered nonprofits. They're charitable organizations that employ fee for service. You know, you have, I mean, NACA, Habitat for Humanity. There are lots of, here in Atlanta, you know, we have the Open Hand Project with Matt Piper, and they have Good Measure Meals. I mean, they, their entire mission is to help create meals for those that are suffering with chronic illnesses. So that's what they do as a nonprofit. You know, when Matt Piper started the organization, that was his focus. He wanted to help people with chronic illnesses have access to healthy food.
Right.
Well, they created an enterprise around that and created a company called Good Measure Meals where anyone can buy healthy meals. Anyone can have those meals delivered to their home, whether they're diabetic or have high blood pressure, or they just like to eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So they've created a business model that directly tied and impacts them carrying out their mission.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the IRS said is a good idea. As long as the enterprise component of what you're doing allows you to stay true to your charitable activity and charitable mission, then it's totally cool. You can do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So talking about nonprofits, a lot of people don't know, like, the NFL is a nonprofit.
They have an association. Yeah, it's a type of nonprofit organization, yes.
And so when you're talking about corporate funding, I mean, what are the corporate funders looking for, too, besides how the money is being spent?
They're looking for them, they have two primary motives. One, marketability, market association, them being able to have a pronounced social responsibility in the community. So, you know, they're being charitable, but really they want to be able to be tied to something that gives them some market exposure, right? So that's why they, a lot of times, will put marketing dollars into the community so they can get the exposure. But secondly, and I think I'd say just as importantly, they're interested in community impact. So they want, especially our banks, well, even some other like manufacturing companies, they want to make sure that the money that they're investing will directly impact either their employees or their customers.
Mm, okay.
You know, so we have the Coca-Cola Enterprise, the Coca-Cola Corporation. I know they have a plant out in South Atlanta. And, you know, one of the things that they're, and Chick-fil-A has a corporate building there too. But one of the things that they're concerned about is, you know, all of the work that we do here in this local community, how, if I, you know, give an organization $50,000, how will my employees who work in this community, who live in this community, be impacted by that? Will they receive some benefit from your program? Will their kids, you know, see a better life? Because I want them to, you know, come back and do a good job
that
here.
Whole work-life balance thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of corporations want to be able to come and volunteer. I've seen some very good nonprofits, smart nonprofits, create opportunities for corporations to come and take part in their work, you know, in their programs and products and services. And corporations like that because they want to be able to engage their employees in the charitable process. So I've seen a lot of that.
So you have an event that's coming up that I feel is huge in that aspect of finding those businesses with the nonprofits.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get paid to do this, so I wish I did. Because there's such a huge need. But there is the People of Purpose Network. I actually started back in 2004 when I was living in Charleston at the time. I was working for a housing authority and was really engaged in community development, economic development, that kind of thing. But in Charleston, unlike Atlanta, there really aren't a lot of, you know, business circles, you know.
Right.
So it's like old school, you know who you know. But for, you know, younger professionals or even new entrepreneurs, there really wasn't a circle of connection and connectivity. So I started then. And then when I moved to Atlanta almost 6 years ago, I said, there's so many networking groups here. There's no way in the world they need a POP, People of Purpose Network POP. I said, so wouldn't have to do that. You know, so much stuff going on, no way in the world. But what I found in the last 5 years is that there are lots of networking events, mm-hmm. And there are lots of what I call cocktail cause events.
Cocktail cause. I mean,
you know, it's really social. Come drink, eat, and maybe pass a business card. I like those, though. Mm-hmm. I like those.
Yeah.
But what I didn't find was what I called a lot of ended networking. So the People of Purpose Network, we have three main focuses. Here are three outcomes, and here's our ended networking goals. The first is to connect. It's our intention to connect entrepreneurs and individuals who have any socially conscious focus together. So if you're starting a business and if you hadn't figured out how it can tie back to something socially conscious, I'm going to help you with that. Mm-hmm. But if you're someone who says, I want to start a nonprofit, where do you go? Where do you meet up with other people who are as crazy as you are to want to go out and start a nonprofit? Oh, my God. But and then for all of the people that are just starting a business or just, you know, in that first 1 to 3 year, we all go through the same thing. Yes. I mean, it's the same foolishness. You know, you jump out, especially if you left your job, all of a sudden you don't get a check, you go through shock.
You know, your family shock and awe.
Yeah. It's like, no one's sending me money anymore. My family thinks I'm crazy. I actually have to leave my house. I can't stay home and watch TV all day. That's what people initially think working for yourself means. Yeah, so we all go through the same thing. So our first goal is to connect all these like-minded people. People of purpose is what mm-hmm. I call them. The second is to inspire. So, you know, one of the toughest things about being an entrepreneur, I don't care what kind of entrepreneur you mm-hmm. are, is staying motivated.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
yes.
My. I mean, because there are days you sit around like, why'd I do this again? can I get a job? I mean, like, who's hiring? I'll go work for Starbucks, anybody. So it really is that inspiration of knowing you're not in this alone. There are other crazy people out here like you. There are other very successful business owners out here like you. And there is a network of us. And there are ways that we can help each other. So my main goal, and I tell people when they come to POP, we're here to network and meet, but you're not leaving here unless you meet some person who can help you build your business or help you through 2 degrees out bring some value to what you're doing. Mm. Because you never know who's in the room. One of the things I don't like about networking events is I never know who's in the room. I want to know who's in the room. I want to know what they do. I want to know what their goals are because there's some way that we can have a mutually beneficial relationship. So that's one of the outcomes of POP. But the third and the most important is funding. So if I'm a nonprofit who's been operating or if I'm an individual business who is starting or have been around for a while, I love to network, but I need to know that at the end of the day, I'm going to have more money in my pocket than I had before. So POP is a place to come, even if you're not ready to look for funding, because most people aren't, especially mm-hmm. when you're a startup. We want to connect you to people like the Stacey and Rogers or, you know, to the Urban League or to, you know, our Partech, the people who know how to prep you to engage in funding requests mm-hmm. or me. You know, I can talk to you. Like I said, I don't get paid to do it, but I mean, I can talk you through what it looks like to prepare for a grant application. And we have one of my partners has a strong background in private equity and angel funding and, you know, different types of funding. He's there. He's telling you, look, before you go to pitch to an investor, you need to have A, B, C, D in order to move forward. And the company that he has and that I've been helping him with is called Footprints to Funding. And that's literally an organization that that connects you direct to private investors, angel investors, and venture capitalists who are interested in social enterprise specifically. Social enterprise. So those are the three things that we do at our POP events. And it is different. You know, it's good because you feel like I call us family because, you know, we're there to connect, you know, not just to see, but there to connect. And we're there to get you to funding. So I tell people, if you're serious about eventually getting some money, then keep coming. But if you're just falling through like, hey, I just want to meet somebody. What's up? I don't have any alcohol. But, you know, you'll have a good time.
It's simple. It's to its point.
Yeah.
So when's your next event?
On October the 23rd, which is next Thursday. I think it's Thursday. Yep. 25th is next Thursday.
25th.
You got to help me out. You know, my days are running together because my birthday's on the 27th. The only day I know and care about is the 27th.
So well, 20 happy birthday.
Thank you so much. You know, I celebrate all month, so I take that seriously.
Yeah,
but the 25th is next Thursday. We have an awesome, and I've been very, very blessed and fortunate to become engaged with an organization called Hub Atlanta. They are a social enterprise accelerator. An incubator here in Atlanta, probably the premier accelerator and incubator here in Atlanta. And their main focus is to help grow and prepare social entrepreneurs for success. And we're going to take our pop meeting to them on the 25th. That's a Thursday at 6:30 p.m. We'll be there until 8:30. And when I put everybody out, because we stay all night, like we have a problem leaving, yes. Like, guys, we got to go. These people have to go home. So we'll be there next Thursday at the Hub. And obviously the Hub will be there to talk to us about how they can obviously be a huge resource for anyone that's looking to touch some funding here soon. So I'm really excited about this one.
So how did they find this? Phone number, website?
Two ways. You can go to footprintstofunding.com. Or you can absolutely go to Eventbrite. Eventbrite is who we've been using forever. If you type in Footprints to Funding or POP, we'll pop up. You like that, right?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I like that. I made that up myself.
That's good.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you can, there'll be a direct link to sign up. We're not making any money off it. We only charge $10, so you can be able to eat when you get there and have somewhere to sit because, right. You know, sitting is not free anymore.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, please come out. Tell your friends. Anyone who, as I said, especially if you're thinking about starting a nonprofit, please come so I can give you some sage. Sage paid. I paid for the advice. I already bought it. Trust me. And getting started.
I think we all have had that paid and saged aspect. Mm-hmm. So right. We don't want everybody to have to go through those wounds.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, Quinita, if someone wanted to talk directly to you, how can they find you?
The best way to reach me, this is going to be crazy, is by email. And it's only because it comes to my phone. And even if I'm in a meeting, I can respond to you by email, like right then. And texting is another way, but email. So email me at Quinita, and it's my first name, Quinet as in Tom, H-A, at fundingyourvision.com. Funding, F-U-N-D-I-N-G, your, Y-O-U-R, vision, V-I-S-I-O-N.com. And I'd be happy to chat via text. I do have a Facebook page. Yeah. Called
the little tiny company. Yeah.
Yeah, small thing I heard about. Tells you how often I'm out there. Called Ask Me About Grants. And that's a good way to have a good touch point too, because people go and ask questions and sometimes I load things up there. Do you know, by the way, that which one of these companies? They're doing a $25,000 business grant.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh, yeah. Is that American Express?
American Express. What it is. Yeah, I saw it yesterday. Yeah. It's a nice little plug. I thought that was a cool idea.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put that on the Facebook page, too.
I'm noticing a lot more corporate entities are doing that to kind of stimulate the small businesses.
Yeah.
Because that overhead can sometimes be the biggest issue.
Yeah.
You know?
A couple of months ago, Chase did a huge one.
I don't even know if it's closed out yet. I mean, no one knows.
I know the applicants for it because I think it ended in July or something, but I was posting it on my newsletter. So a lot of companies are doing that to help.
Stepping up. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're stepping up because we need it. I mean, entrepreneurs, it's tough. That first $5,000 will keep you from $5 million.
That's true.
That's very true.
That's seed money.
Well, that being said, I wanted to allude back to the networking aspect of the fact that there are so many networking events that go on here in the city of Atlanta. And just remember, as you look at these events, try to find out what that target audience is. So that particular event may not be the one that you need to
go to.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're just a really good people person. There's nothing wrong with that.
Stacey.
You know, Stacey.
There's
nothing wrong with that to go and meet other people. You may or may not find someone in there that meets that criteria that you're looking for.
Right.
But just be, you know, I would say our advice is just to be very strategic about it and somewhat selective. You know, because because you don't want to, as we all know about Atlanta traffic, you don't want to take that risk,
right.
You know, and go out there to a certain degree and then say, well, why did I come to this? It just it didn't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm. And it's so busy, you can be doing something every night. So definitely do your
literally,
homework.
Literally.
You know? Yeah, well,
so literally every
night. And I think the good point that Roger made was that, you know, find somebody who's gone to them for a while before you go.
Yeah.
Because sometimes their connections are not necessarily the same connections you're looking for.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And that I think that's the biggest key here in Atlanta because, you know, yeah, you could get stuck in traffic to go to an event that really wasn't beneficial for you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So
yeah. It's all about gate openers.
Definitely.
Yeah,
thank you, Quinita, for coming.
Thank you for having me. This was awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, folks, there you have it. The good, the bad, the reality about nonprofits. Funding strategist from Quinita Frazier. And join us each week as we talk about what makes small business ownership so rewarding as it relates to the challenges of running a small business and ultimately why you choose to do what you do. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next week.